Christians have been teaching for years. We really believe this. Christians believe that God left the realities of heaven and came down here to earth in the form of a baby, in the person of Jesus. In fact, that's why we are talking about what we're talking about today. This whole teaching series is entitled Jesus. And we're asking this question of who is Jesus? And because here's what we know. We know the more that we can understand who Jesus is, the deeper our hope. And the deeper our hope, the deeper our peace. And when that happens, we know that there'll be a deep joy within us. Now, hey, this morning, you may be here and you're like, you only came because someone promised you breakfast afterwards, right? You know, maybe you're an atheist and you came this morning. And I truly mean this. And I know that those who come here regularly are so glad that you are here. We really are. Some of you here are agnostic. You know, you just don't quite believe, you know, can you really put your faith in that, you know, in this God thing? You're not saying there's not a God, but you're wrestling with this whole idea, this concept. And then, you know, there's even a spiritual atheist. There's a new, it's not that new. It's been around for like 10 years, so I guess that is kind of new. About spiritual atheists, where these group of people want to be spiritual in nature, but don't really believe that there is a God. But here's what is a common thread, and then, you know, there's those of you or me included in this that are Christians, are Christ followers. A common thread between all of them is that they all are looking for a deep peace that comes from within, that brings a joy that isn't based on what you're going to find underneath your Christmas tree on Christmas morning, right? It's not based on the next best and biggest vacation that you can take. We're all looking for what brings this contentment, this joy from the inside. And this morning, that's why Christians really do believe this, that Jesus is God. And He wants to remove any doubt that tells us that we can't live a life full of purpose, full of peace, and full of joy. And that's why we're looking at Colossians chapter 1 this morning. So take your Bibles, go to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse number 19. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 19. While you're turning there, I want to just remind you that this is a letter from Paul written to a small little city in the country of Turkey. And these are believers there, and he's sending this letter to them, even though he's never been there, and he is helping them to understand who Jesus is. And in verse number 19, he says this, "For God, in all His fullness, was pleased to live in Christ." So let's think about this for a second. For God, in all of His fullness, in all of His omnipresence, omnipotency, in all of His love, in all of His faithfulness, in every part, every characteristic that God has, Paul says He was pleased to live in Christ. If you were reading Colossians chapter 2 this week, and you came across verse number 9. In the ESV, it said, in the English Standard Version, it says, "For in Him," meaning Jesus, "the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." So you see, who is Jesus? Jesus is God. In theology, they call this the deity of Jesus. He is God, Jesus. This week, this past week, Jonathan and I, my son, we were at my favorite restaurant, which I won't tell you, Texas Roadhouse. But we were there. I know that's a shocker. But we were there, and we're talking to one of the waitresses. And it wasn't even our waitress. Her name is Julie. She's awesome. We're going to see her come here one day. And as we're talking to her, we pulled out one of our Christmas Eve invites and said, "Hey, you should come to Christmas Eve services because..." She says, "Well, I usually work on Christmas Eve." She says, "They usually schedule me Christmas Eve." I said, "Yeah, well, we have one in the morning and we have two at night. You can make one of them, right?" So she says, "All right." So she walks by and she comes back, though, and she says, "I got to tell you this story." She says, "You know, when we're driving down the street with my little daughter, she'll talk about Jesus, but she says, God, Jesus. And I like try to help her. She doesn't understand yet, you know. And I'm like, hold it, no. That's exactly right. Out of the mouth of babes, it is God Jesus. You're exactly right. And in fact, Jesus himself said this about him. In John chapter 14, he has this discussion with the disciples. Jesus even taught that he was God. As he's having this discussion with his disciples, he's asking, they're asking him, well, how can we know the Father? And Jesus' response right back to him was this. These are his words. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He's saying, I'm God. I am God in the flesh. We just sang that Emmanuel, God incarnate, God in the flesh. This is the deity of Christ. And then the Apostle John, in the very first verse of the Gospel of John, the Apostle John writes this. He says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, here's what I want you to do. We're going to read this all together in a second. We're going to take out the word Word, and we're going to put Jesus in there. So we're going to take out the two words, actually, the and Word, and we're going to insert Jesus. And in just a second, I'm going to show you why we can do that, because we'll get to that verse in a second. But I want us to read this together. When it says, in the beginning, Jesus already existed, because the word means Jesus. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So will you read it with me on three? One, two, three. In the beginning, yes, good job. Good job. You guys are awesome. And you know what? If you were Jewish community and you were listening to this, bells are going off in your mind, because what they're hearing is the Torah. When John first wrote this out, man, they're like, oh my gosh, this is what the Torah, the very first book of the Bible says, in the beginning, God. And so it's like John's connecting the line for these guys. And he's trying to connect it for us, that in the beginning, Jesus already existed. We already saw that a couple of weeks ago in this very passage in Colossians, that he has always existed. That Jesus, now watch this, here's this deity thing, how, and the Trinity thing, how can it be, watch this. Jesus was with God, so it's like there's God and then there's Jesus, right? So you've got God and you've got Jesus, but then John says this, Jesus was God. It's like, what? This is like mind-blowing, right? So this is like Jesus is God, the deity of Christ. Why? Why is this important? Why is the deity of Christ important? Because it reveals to us who God is. There was this huge gap for thousands of years between God and man. And there was all this, like, in fact, this gap was so huge, to get into the presence of God, you had to be from a certain racial group. You had to be Jewish, and you had to be from a certain tribe. You had to be from the tribe of Levi to be able to go into the presence, because only the high priest could ever go into the presence of the Holy of the Holies in the Old Testament. Only the high priest could go in there and offer an atonement for our sins. Watch what happens here. In Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says this, therefore, it was necessary for him, meaning Jesus, it was necessary for Jesus to be made in every respect like us, the deity of Christ. It was important for him to come in human form. And it says his brothers and sisters, like every respect like us. I get so messed up when I'm reading and then trying to talk. Okay, sorry. So that he could be our merciful Father and high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Jesus is our high priest. And watch what happens. You flip forward a couple of chapters, chapter 10. But our high priest, Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins. good for all time. This is huge because the Jewish people were used to always, you know, once a year, the Day of Atonement, having to go in there and this big ceremony for the forgiveness of sin on top of offering sacrifices for sin throughout the year. The Day of Atonement, it was like for sins that you may have forgotten about. I mean, it's a big long thing. We don't have time to get into it. But trust me when I say this, that Jesus said he offered himself as a sacrifice for sins that was good for all times. All sin, past sin, all present sin, and any future sins. This one single sacrifice that Jesus, God Jesus, offered himself was good for all time. This is good news. This is why the deity of Christ is important, because it reveals to us who God Jesus is, the high priest and sacrifice that atones for all sins for all times. Why is the deity of Christ important? Because it reveals to us the depth of his love and his care for you and for me. Now, watch this. Remember I told you that we're going to get to how, why can we say the word was really mean Jesus? Well, if you slid down in John chapter 1, slide down to verse number 14, and it tells you why. The Apostle John tells you that the word is Jesus. And here it is in verse 14. So the word became human. In some of your translations it says he became flesh. So the word became flesh and made his home among us. Now, again, when the Jewish readers are hearing this, they're not hearing a home. They're hearing tabernacle, that he tabernacled with us, which, you know, again, all points to their history and stuff that, you know, we don't have a tabernacle and we don't have high priests. So all that kind of stuff doesn't make sense to us. But here's what does make sense to us, that the Word became human. That he left heaven, he came to the earth, and he took on humanity. Here's where we have this idea in theology called the hypostatic union. And simply put, it just means that Jesus had two different natures. He had a divine nature, and he had a human nature. And Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus laid down his divine nature, and he became fully human. He submitted himself to a human body. So here's why this is important. Why is the deity of Christ important? Because he shows us how much he loves and cares for us. There, we have a God that understands us better than we could ever think. You say, he has no idea what I go through. Stop and think about this. God left heaven, came to earth, and then limited himself in a human body when he willingly laid down his divine nature. He limited himself to this thing called time and process. Because Mary carried him for 9 months. Right? And then he was an infant. Totally dependent upon those around him to care for him. You talk about God becoming vulnerable? He was dependent on the protection of his parents. And remember when they had to leave and run for his protection? This is God in the flesh. He was a toddler. He had to go through all that. All that our toddlers go through, right? He was in elementary school. He had to grow up like you and I did. He was human in every respect in that. He had to submit himself to this process, to this time. Can you imagine being a teenager, knowing that your purpose is that you are God and you are here to lay down your life, but you had to hold back because your time wasn't yet? Because it wasn't time for you to tell everybody. He had to wait for 30 years before he could proclaim that he really was God Jesus. Can you imagine? Some of you are waiting for something to happen. Jesus knows what that feels like. Have you ever been rejected? Oh my gosh. I can remember the first time I was rejected in second grade. Man, you know, I'm in second grade, and I told you this. This is no secret. I was looking for a wife, you know, when I was in kindergarten. But when I was in second grade, I saw Susan. Her name was Susan. And I knew Susan, man. I loved her. You're going to be my wife. In my mind, I'm saying, you're going to be my wife. So I did what every prospecting husband would do. I wrote her a note, right? I was like, dear Susan, I like you. Do you like me? Circle yes or no, right? Do you remember those notes? Yeah, come on. Some of you wrote those notes too, right? I'm not the only one. So you never give it directly to them, right? You give it to your buddy, and then your buddy runs over there, and your buddy gives it to them. And then I'm watching her pull it out. I'm watching her, and she's circling something. I'm like, yes, she's circling. Yes, I know it. And the note comes back, and I open it up, and I'm like, no, oh, no, she doesn't want to be my wife. I don't understand. You know, I didn't understand. So I thought, you know, I'll win her over. I remember this as clear as day. On this weekend, my mom and dad took us to the movies. And we went into the movies, and man, I bought one of those big old boxes of Good and Plenty's, right? And I can't stand them now, but they used to be good. I bought this big box of Good and Plenty's, and I didn't eat them all, right? I only ate half the box. You know why? Because in my mind, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to come back to school on Monday, and I'm going to win her over by giving her a half a box of Good and Plenty and another note. And I did it. And I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait until she opened up the note and she got the present, because I knew that that was going to win her. And she, again, as I said, I like you, Susan. Do you like me? Circle yes or no. She circles no, and she gives it back to me, and I'm brokenhearted. But then she tells me why. She says, because I like Stephen. Yeah. I go home, and I tell my mom and dad, Mom, why didn't you name me Stephen? I don't understand. I really did. I had an argument with my mom. I begged my mom, change my name to Stephen. That was my first rejection, and then just kept on going from there, you know? But Jesus knows what it feels like to be rejected. Hey, some of you look on Instagram, and you're like, dude, they're having a party without me. How come they didn't invite me? Some of you know what it feels like to be rejected by your family. Jesus knows what that's like. He had brothers and sisters that made fun of him. They made fun of him. You may have a spouse who has done something that made you feel rejected. Jesus knows what you feel like because he became human. And then he lived among us, just like you and I live. He laid down his divine nature. And he lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how he was able to live his life. And watch what happens. Watch as the rest of this verse goes. And so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. How did that happen? How did every time he got rejected? How did every time that he experienced difficult circumstances? How did every time his emotions start to come over him? How was he able to respond in unfailing love and faithfulness? It was because of the power of the Holy Spirit within him, because he had laid down his divine nature and became fully human. And you know what? He gives us that same ability. He gives us the same ability. How many of you have ever prayed a prayer and begged God, please answer that, but he never answered? It seems like Jesus never answers. It seems like God, Jesus, never answers your prayer. Jesus prayed a prayer that God never answered. Remember when he was in the garden and he begged God, please, will you let this cup pass from me? And God didn't let him do it. And then he ends up suffering in his human body like you and I. When he was beaten, he knows what that feels like. He felt that because he had his human nature. He knew. I mean, can you imagine what the pain and the agony that he went through? And he did all of that because he loves you and I. Because there is a separation between you and I. And there had to be this sacrifice that was laid down for our sins so that we could be connected to God. Back in Hebrews, look what the author says. He says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses." For he, meaning Jesus, this is Jesus. So this Jesus of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but here's what I do know. Jesus, God Jesus knows exactly what you're facing. And here's what he says. That the very next verse in this is awesome. It says, "And so let us come boldly." Because he understands, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Man, we can go to God with a confidence. We can go to God with a confidence on our knees. God Jesus is calling you to your knees. God Jesus is calling you for whatever it is that you are facing and that you are experiencing. He's calling you to your knees and to bring it to him. Why? Because it is there that you will receive mercy. And not only will you receive mercy before that throne of grace, but you will find grace to help. To help when you need it most. So, where is it in your life that you need it most right now? Where is it? Is it your schedule? Is it your schedule is just totally all whacked out? And it's like, God, give me, I need help just managing my time. Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to him with a confidence, knowing that he understands? Because he does. And so, will you take out your connection card this morning? It's right there in your bulletin. And the very first step, the very first next step, says this. It says, pray for me, because I sometimes feel alone going through my current circumstances. Pray that I will confidently approach God, knowing that he understands and will give me grace and peace as I go through it. You know, on Tuesday when we gather, we do spend time. We count it a privilege. We really do. We say this all the time in our staff meeting. What a privilege to pray. And we tell God our Father, God, thank you for letting us pray for these guys. Some of your prayer requests are so specific, and we're praying. However you write it, man, is how we're praying it. And we're just begging God that he will show up in your life this week. And we are begging God that this Advent season, you won't live life out of control. We're praying that this Advent season, there will be a deep peace and a deep joy that comes like you've never experienced. And so, we're asking you to let us know, how can we pray for you? Just write it down there, put it in the offering boxes on your way out. But maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here and you're like that agnostic. You know, maybe you've been coming for just a couple of weeks. Maybe you've been here months. Maybe you've been here coming a year, still wrestling with this. Here's my question. Have you ever put your faith yet in Jesus? Here, I'm asking you today for the first time, I put my faith in the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins and call on him to be my Lord and Savior. Is that you? Is that where you find yourself at this morning? And if you are here and you haven't yet put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you've just been coming, you've been listening, or maybe you grew up in church and you have a bad taste about church in your mouth. Your experience was less than pleasant. Would today be different? Would you stop thinking about church and put your thought into Jesus and who Jesus is, because that's what's important? And will you quit making excuses for your past experience with whatever your experience was with church? And don't let that keep you from the person who you need to put your faith in, because it's not the church. Don't put your faith in church. You put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Today could be that defining moment for you. Today could be. You could experience Christmas this year like no other Christmas. You could put your faith and your trust in Him. Will you? I want to pray for you. After I pray, we're going to sing this song, and I hope that you will be able to declare loud and clear as we sing, "What child is this?" But in your heart, you know what child this is. It is God, Jesus, because you are settled in your faith of who He is, the deity of Christ, the one who loves and cares enough about you that He would leave the realities of heaven and experience life here on earth so that He would know exactly how you feel. And so, Father, we come to You this morning, and we beg and we plead of You that You would continue to draw us closer to You. God, that You would give us more understanding of who You are. God, that You would give us clarity in our own hearts and our minds. And Jesus, I pray that as we continue to love You, as we continue to search the Scriptures, as we continue to understand, God, that You would continue to create a deeper faith in us, in You. And as we do that, then God, we know that You will put in us a peace that ultimately brings a great joy, even in the middle of very difficult circumstances. And so, Father, wherever we find ourselves this morning, will You work like never before in our lives, in our hearts. And Jesus, for the person that's here this morning, they haven't put their faith in You yet. May today be the day. May You bring clarity to their own mind and their own heart about who You are, that You are God, Jesus, who loved us enough to lay down Your life for us. Change our lives, God, Jesus, please. In Your name, amen.